Daddy and I explained to her. Amen. When you sow that seed of goodness and you sow that seed of salvation, you sow that and they get born again, and then you go on with your ministry and you start leading people to Jesus, it all goes back to that hand that led you. Man, I don't know about you, but leading people to Jesus is contagious. Very contagious. Once you lead one, you want to lead another one. And you just keep on and on. But this morning, man, I'll tell you what, God's good. Amen. Boy, he's good. He's in the house. We got baby dedication this morning, but I want to preach you a word before we call the parents up and let them come and dedicate these kids to the Lord. I will say this again, and I want to reemphasize this. This does not in no way mean these kids are born again. Right now, every one of these babies are under the age of accountability, but when they come to the age of accountability at that moment, at that time, that they'll have to, one day in their life, have Jesus Christ to come into their life and save them. That'll be up to them. But parents, this is for you this morning, that you are saying that by authority of God's word, that you are going to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So before we go any further, if you say, well, preacher, I didn't know that's what that meant. I didn't want to get that far into it. Don't you come up here. The Bible says, don't you make an oath that you're not willing to keep. That's what's wrong with a lot of folks in the world that we live in. They think they can make an oath and break it and nothing won't go wrong. When you make an oath to God, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, make sure you keep that oath. Amen? This morning I ask you to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Every time we do a baby dedication, I love going here. This is what the Bible speaks to my heart. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1. If you're able and willing, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you should go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, I want to say once again, it is so good to be in your house. It's so good to be right where you'd have us to be this morning. Lord, I thank you for the parents that's got a backbone about them, Father, that says, I'm going to raise my kids up to love you. I'm going to raise my kids up to know that there is a God in heaven. I'm going to raise my kids up to know that there is a way that's right and pleasing unto God. I'm going to raise my kids up to know that there is a true way. There is a living God, and this is the way they should go. Lord, I pray for the next few moments, you just talk to these parents hard. Talk to the grandparents. Talk to everyone that's in this place. Lord, I pray that we remind the ones that already has kids that are grown, that they encourage them, Father. Lord, I pray you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you and nothing about me. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for saving me. Lord, I thank you for making me clean. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I thank you this morning that the blood of Jesus is enough this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we get into the text and we look at it this morning. Moses taught the children of Israel. Here Moses taught the children of Israel to fear the Lord all the days of their life. You and I have the same obligation to teach our children to fear the Lord and to reverence Him all the days of our lives. You say, preacher, do you think we should fear the Lord? That's what's wrong with our nation right now. We don't got nobody that fears the Lord. We got people that could care less how what's going on in the world we live in. But I want you to know, I thank God that he has cleaned him out of a spot over here in the middle of nowhere, and he's put a group of people in here that fear the Lord and fear what God can do unto them, unto their life and unto their family, and we reverence him and we give him all the honor, all the respect, and all the glory. And I thank God for all the other churches that are standing and preaching, thus saith the word of God. They're not bowing down, they're not getting out, but they're standing for what God's called them to do. And you say, preacher, why does God want us as a parent to teach our children about him? I say to you, number one, we find in verse number one is because as a parent, you have an obligation to teach your kids about Jesus. It ain't up to the preacher. It ain't up to the Sunday school teacher. It ain't up to the Awana leader. It's up to parents to teach their kids about Jesus. This commandment was not given to the preacher. This commandment was not given to nobody else but to the parents. And he said, I want you to teach your kids the right way. I give you an obligation. I've given you something that you need to teach them. He says in verse number one, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you should go to possess it. You say, preacher, what should I teach my children? I want to give you a few things this morning. Number one, I want to say this. As a child, they're not going to learn a whole lot. You take these little babies today, they know what milk is. They know what food is. They know who mom and daddy is. They know a few things. But I say to you, parents, number one, you should bring them to church. You should bring them to the house of God. You should bring them where the word's being preached. You should bring them where the Spirit of God is. You should bring them to church. You should saturate their lives with the word of God, even when they can't read, even when they don't understand it. You ought to saturate their lives with the word of God. You say, preacher, I don't get nothing when I bring them to church. They're aggravating and they're doing all kinds of things. Hey, you was little at one time too. Can I get an amen? I have to remind myself that I got a three-year-old, and there are sometimes we get invited to go places, and I look at Brandy and I say, it'd just be better to stay at home. It'd just be better. Come, am I talking to any mom and daddy this morning? You wake up on Sunday morning and your house is a mess. Looks like a hurricane's come through there and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And you look at your wife and you say, it's just better we stay at home. Why even fight it? Why even do it? Because God's asked us to do that. Because God's laid it out before us. We should bring them kids to church. Even if they lay on the floor and have a fit, bring them to church. Even if they need 437 goldfish and a sucker to be still, bring them to church. Even if you stand at the back of the church, and I've seen mamas do this all the time, even if you stand at the back of the church swaying back and forth, holding your baby, bring them to church. Even when it's hard, bring them to church. Even when the place you sit looks like a hurricane's come through there, bring them to church. Amen. We got somebody that'll clean the pew. We got somebody that'll clean the floor. We got somebody that'll pick up trash. You bring them kids to church. Bring them to church. Why do you want to bring them to church, preacher? Why are you emphasizing this morning? Because they need to see mom and daddy worshiping Jesus. They need to see mom and daddy worshiping Jesus. Your home life may be like mine sometimes. We have chaos in there. We have a lot of confusion in there. But I know if I can get my children to the house of God, they're going to see the Word of God. They're going to feel the Spirit of God. And they're going to see God's people loving one another. They need to see you worshiping. They need to see you running to Jesus. The world will teach them that God and church isn't important. Now, if you don't do your job, the world's going to teach them. Somebody's going to teach your kid. Somebody's going to teach your kid. They're either you're going to teach them or somebody else is going to teach them. You're the only one that's able to give them Jesus and give it to them straight and give it to them the way they need it. Now, if you let the world do it, they may not get the true Jesus. They may get a hold of a rock and roll Jesus. They may get a hold of a Harley Davidson Jesus. They won't get the Jesus I'm talking about this morning. That Jesus that can change their life. That Jesus that can set them free one day. That Jesus they can turn to when problems come and pains in their life. You need to tell them they can turn to him. The world would teach them to lay out of church. To don't go to church. It's not important. The world will teach them to lay down your Bible. Don't read it. It's an old book. It'll do you no good. Can I say to you, this is the only book that'll do you good. Oh, glory. The world will direct them completely off course. You take a kid, raise them up in a church, and it won't be long after they get married and go on their own. Oh, Satan will try to get them off course. It'll try to get them going the wrong way. It won't tell them to go the right way. I'll say to you, it'll direct them completely off course. It'll confuse them. It'll misform them, the world will. And the world will tell them that you're good enough. that you're good enough just like you are. You don't need to be born again. You don't need to repent. You don't need to confess. You don't need to call on the name of Jesus. You're a good person. Good people go to heaven. Hey, can I say to you this morning, not all good people go to heaven. Only thing that goes to heaven, the only person, is those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, there's no requirement in heaven to be a good person. It's got to be a saved person. They will teach them to lay out, not to do good. They'll teach them, they'll misinform them. It's our job to teach them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, listen to me, daddies, don't put it on your wife to teach your kid about Jesus. You be the priest of your home. I look around this room and I preach with you with urgency. I'm talking about with urgency like I've never had before. I preach with you with urgency. Listen to me, daddies, please, for just a moment. It is your job to be the priest of your home. It's your job to be the provider. It's your job to put food on the table, daddies, not to be a deadbeat and lay up. It's your job to provide. It's your job to be a priest and tell your family about Jesus. It's your job to lay the King James Bible on the table and read scripture with them and tell them that there's a God in heaven that loves them. You say, preacher, that'll make me a wimp. If you don't do it, it makes you a wimp. It takes a man to stand up with courage and say, we're going to read the Bible. And we're going to stand on that book. It takes a man. Well, I'm their friend. You're not being called to be their friend. You're called to be their parent. You're not always going to get along. You're going to have to stand. You can't always be their buddy. You got to be their parent. I'm not scolding nobody. I'm just preaching to you and telling my heart. He said, fathers, provoke not your children. The world we live in, daddies, and I'm one of them, if we're not careful, we'll put all the responsibility off on the mother, and that's not biblical. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Fathers, bring them up. Man, this church is full of mamas that come to church without a daddy, without that daddy coming with them. We got mamas and kids that come to church all the time, and the daddy don't never come. Where is he at? I don't know. I don't have a clue. All I know is, though, he's supposed to be in the house of God. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but fathers, you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. A while ago, they sung a song about thank God for the preacher. I'll never forget the day David Barnes called me. I was riding down the road and David Barnes called me. He said, Garrett got saved. I started having a fit on the other end. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, but guess what? I said, what's that? He said, Kaylee led him. I said, do what? He said, yes, she led him. She led him in the Word, showed him how to be saved. He called on the name of the Lord. I started scratching my head. Man, she wasn't but about 10 years old. He was 8 or something. I started scratching my head. David said, do you think it's real? Do you think it'll work? Do you think? And I tell him like I tell anybody else. Time will tell. Time will tell if it's real. Time will tell if it'll stand. Only time will tell. It'll tell in your life how you raised your children. If you don't like the way they're acting, start raising them right. We have an obligation to raise our family. We have an obligation. But can I say to you one more thing? We have an opportunity. They're going to be little one time. Brother Kevin, I can't believe Ryder's done 3-year-old. And I'm talking about, son, I had a cakewalk with Kaylee. I'm going to have to really, really hammer down on listen. You could talk to Kaylee one way and she'd just buckle. You can put the belt on him at 3-year-old and he just says, that hurts. Not all of them are the same. Not all of them are the same. You raise them all different, but you raise them all the same according to the Word of God. Let me give you this morning. Not only do we have an obligation, but we have an opportunity. Look with me at Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 5. And here is your opportunity as a parent. Not only are you obligated by the Word of God, but you get the opportunity. God's given you that kid. That kid could have been born anywhere, in any country, any place in the world. That kid could have been born. But instead, God trusted you. God trusted you. Garrett Moore, God trusted you with that little girl. God trusted you, and I don't know why. Maybe the bright shirt you got on, but you just come. God trusted you with that little girl. God trusted you to provide for her. God trusted you to protect her, and God trusted you to be the priest of that home. That's what God trusts us daddies with and us mamas with. And he said, not only you got obligation, but you get an opportunity for all the days of their life to raise them up and show them how to love Jesus. He said, preacher, how do I do that? Do I wait till they get old? No, you start when they're young, what these parents are doing. Look in verse number 5. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. How am I going to teach them? Just love. You got to love them first. You got to love God first with all your heart, all your soul. I mean all your heart, with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. He said, these statutes and these commandments and what you've got going on, they got to be in your heart before they can be in your kid's heart. One of the saddest statements I ever heard is this. Don't do as I do as I say. That's so pitiful. That's an awful statement I ever heard. You ought to be able to say, son, daughter, do as daddy does. Do as daddy does. Do as mama does. Follow us. We're following Jesus, you follow us. He said, not only we got an obligation, but we got an opportunity. Let me give you this. To diligently teach them. Look what he says here in verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That diligently teaching them, Brother Hagin, is this right here. That is to be persistent. I mean, every day you get up, be persistent teaching them Jesus. Be busy about it. Don't let the things of this world overtake the time that you have to teach your kids about Jesus. Be persistent, be busy, and be eager. You say, what I need to do, preacher? Look with me here. He says in verse number 7, if you're going to be eager and you're going to be persistent and you're going to be busy in what God's called you to do, he said, I want you to talk to them. Talk to your kids. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them. Parents, don't be scared to talk to your kids. And don't only talk to them when they're in trouble. Talk to them all the days. Look what he says this. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest at the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when you rise up. I say to you, you should teach them by talking to them, by sitting with them, by walking with them, and when they lay down, and when they get up. You said, preacher, what does that mean? That means that's a work cut out for the parents. This baby dedication this morning ain't as much for the kid as it is for the parent. When you make this oath today to God that you're going to keep your kid in the house of God, and there's parents in here can amen me on this, the battle's fixing to come against you. Everything under the sun is going to pull your Wednesday night. It's going to pull you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Bible study. Everything in the world is going to pull you that you don't need to be there and your kid don't need to be there. And one thing's going to get you is, well, they're only going to be young once. You ever heard that? And you're right. They're only going to be one young once. And you only got one round at this. So you've got an obligation and you've got an opportunity. So what do I teach them, preacher? There's nothing greater to teach them but the love of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you what he's talking about here. He said, I want you to teach them the Ten Commandments. I want you to teach them the way to walk, the way to talk, the way to act, to be morally in their life. When you tell somebody something, you do it. And you make sure you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He said, I want you to teach it to them when they lay down. I see the opportunity. We have the commandments of God. And here is the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Man, don't let you tell your kids, don't put nothing before God. Keep God at number one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Teach your kids. Be careful marking your body. Be careful putting marks on your body. Tell your kids. Stand up on it. Rear up on it. Tell them, be careful. Be careful what you do at a young age. It'll follow you all your life. Tell your kids. Wear them out with it. Tell them, say, listen, I made these mistakes. You don't have to. Tell your kids. Let them know. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Make sure you tell your kids. Make sure. You get out in the world we live in, and that's very popular. Now here's one while you're here today. Remember. He said, I want you to tell them don't have no other God. I want you to tell them don't bring no graven images. Don't do that nowhere. I want you to tell them not to take my name in vain. But number four, he said, I want you to tell them to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy. You ever wonder why so many people are sick on Sunday, Miracle Monday rolls around, they're able to go to work? It wasn't physical sickness most of the time, it's spiritual. They don't want to go to the house of God. They've had a rough week, long week. They've been in the depths of this world. They've got scarred and marred by the things of this world. Why go to church? Can I say to you, go to church because he said, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. You remember him. You reverence him. Number five, honor thy father and mother. Boy, ain't that something. Ain't that something. Honor thy father and mother. Parents, you dedicating these kids to the Lord today, don't never let your kid run you over just to be their friend. When you let them run you over, you're doing a disservice to them. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, if you read there, obey your parents, for this is right, and this is pleasing, and it shall be added unto you long days. When you let your kid discredit you and talk down to you and be all these things to you, you're shortening their life on this side. Don't let them do that. You're doing them a disservice. Let me move on. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Teach a kid not to lie. And thou shalt not covet. Teach them what they got's enough. What God's given them and what they got's enough. Teach them that they are enough. They are created in God's image. God loves them. I say to you this morning that you have an obligation as a parent. I have an obligation. I say to you, you have an opportunity this morning as a parent. I have an opportunity. I thank God that he didn't give me my boy first. Thank God, Brother Stephen, he didn't give me my son first. When my daughter was born, I was lost, not saved, unchurched, hellbound. I know people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that. Without Christ, you're hellbound. With Christ, you're heavenbound. For 4 years after Kaylee was born, I was lost. For 4 years of her life, I was lost. And her mama took her and raised her and done what was right and spoke Jesus to her. See, Brother Garrett gave me the accolade a little bit about leading her to Jesus. But her mama laid the groundwork. Her mama laid the groundwork, laid the foundation that, hey, you're a lady, be modest. You're a lady, you got a lot of worth in you. Don't let no boy tell you you ain't worth this and you ain't worth that, don't you? See, her mama laid the groundwork. Then after I got born again, washing the blood of Jesus, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a boy. You can teach him the right way now. If not, that could have been 4 years that I'd have sowed into his life that what was not right. I want to leave you with this morning as we go on into the book. I want to share this with you. As a parent, you have an obligation. As a parent, you have an opportunity. But as a parent, you don't get to choose their outcome. That's between them and God. Whoa. You don't get to choose their outcome. You raise them, that's between them and God. There's going to come a day in these kids' life, they'll be at the age of accountability. They'll know right from wrong. And by the way, leaving your towel on the bed when it's wet is not a sin. Mama may not like it and might get angry, but that's not necessary. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Sin is this. When you know you've sinned against God, you've done wrong, you know. You know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You know. And the Holy Ghost gets knocking at your heart's door. It's not preacher conviction. It's not church conviction. It's Holy Ghost conviction. He gets knocking at your heart's door and he lets you know that time's drawing nigh. You need to be saved. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. When that kid gets that to their life, it'll be between them and God. All you can do is encourage them, raise them, and pray that the Lord will move on their life in a mighty way. This morning I want to show you in the book where he said the outcome is the Lord's. Look with me in verse 10 if you will. The outcome is the Lord's. Nobody in this place has ever been saved because you said, well, I just think I'll be saved. Don't work that way. The Bible says, and except the Spirit draweth. Except the Spirit draws. There's a draw. There's a draw. Put a fireplace in your house and if you ain't got the chimney just right, there won't be a draw. Just be a lot of smoke in your house. Be a lot of smoke in your life. Be trouble in your life. But when you get that thing pulling the right way, you have some heat, amen? You have a fire deep down on the inside. Verse number 10 says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he has sworn to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. He said, you laid the foundation, but you didn't build the city. You laid the foundation, but you didn't build it. God built it. Look with me in verse number 20, if you will. You say the outcome is the Lord's. Yes, it is. In verse number 20. And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean these testimonies? Why have you taught us this all of our life? When your son starts getting curious, see, they're little right now. They're not going to ask that question. They're little. But they start getting curious. And they start asking a question. Why do we go to church? Why is everybody happy? Why do I feel this going on? What's going on? And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments and with which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Why did you teach us then? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He said, we was under bondage, son. We was under bondage, and they was killing us, and we couldn't get out. We got a God that's merciful, and he brought us out. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders were great and sore, the plagues that come upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all the household before our eyes. Tell them how good God's been to you. Tell them miracles that's in your life. Tell them how God, I don't believe in miracles, preacher. Get to believing in them and you'll see them. Man, they're all around you. If you're holding that baby today to dedicate, that is a miracle. Whoa, glory. And you tell your kids this right here, verse 23. And he, talking about God, he brought us out from over yonder that he might bring us in here. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of them plagues. He brought us out of that old mess that he may bring us into his kingdom. This morning, if you're a parent in this place, no matter if you're dedicating a kid this morning or not, you need, especially if you're an elder in this place and you've got any time under your belt being a Christian, you need to tell this younger generation how good God's been to you. You need to tell him about miracles. You need to tell him about healing, how you had cancer and you had knots all over you and God took them away. You need to tell him how your marriage was on the brinks and it was split and it was gone and no way to be put back together, but God touched it. They need to know that. These young generation needs to know that. They need to know how you was addicted one day, but God set you free. They need to know that in your life. They need to know that. They need to know there's a God they can turn to, not appeal. They need to know that, that there's a way, and his name's Jesus. They need to know that. They need to know that. I wrote this down. The outcome is the Lord's. You train them. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You're going to have to train. Training ain't easy. Training ain't fun. Training takes time. Training takes patience. But training takes you. A lot of folks don't want to train. They got a dog and they want the dog to mind. You know what they do? They send it off to training school. Let somebody else put in the time, the effort, the hours, the sweat, the tears. They'd rather pay. When they get it back, they got a trained dog ready to go. But I guarantee you one thing. That dog may listen to them for a little while, but he knows who his real master is, the one that trained him. This morning I want to say to you, train your child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. You train them, and God will tug on them. You train them, God will do the tugging. When they get to a place and ask, why do we do what we do? I want you to tell them that God has done great things for you. This morning, these families and these parents, man, this place is, people are here to watch the baby dedication. But I've laid you out a few ground, man, not rules, commandments. That if you want your kid to grow up and not have an old stinking potty mouth, come on. Man, I hear 13, 14-year-old kids cuss like a sailor. They ain't got a bit of respect for nobody. And they do what they want to do, how they want to do it, and tell their parents how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it. And if they don't like it, the parents can sit down. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Let me back up and say, though, it ain't for the parent to cuss the kid neither and act the same way toward the kid. It's for the kid to line up in this book with the Word of God and the parent, too, and say, far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's why I stand this morning as a pastor. If you ever wonder where I stood, that's where I stand. Amen? He's been so good to me. So, man, blessed my life so much when I started reading this book. Believed in him. What you do with this book will determine what he'll do with you. What you do with this book will determine what he does with you. At this time, we're going to have baby dedication. Baby, you ready?